speaking with Yossi, who lives in Jerusalem and is part of the anarchist movement here in the Israeli state and works with the group Anarchists Against the Wall. We'll start kind of generally. Can you tell me a bit about the anarchist movement in Israel in terms of if it's a recent phenomenon, how big it is, what are some of the important issues to anarchists here?
Well, anarchism in Israel, or may we say in Palestine, was never a big movement or like a popular movement. It's because Zionism was a nationalist movement that actually most of the refugees who came here hold beliefs of Zionism, of nationalism, supported the idea of a state, of a Jewish state. And they choose to come here and not to other places. They choose to come into Israel or into Palestine and build the Jewish state. So anarchism was very strange to them. Was not there in their agenda. Although there were a lot of socialists coming here. They were socialists and nationalists in the same time. They were not trying to go more toward the not nationalist vision of socialism. So for historical reasons, anarchism was very small here. And because in the Palestinian culture or Arab culture, anarchism is not known. It's not a stream of thinking. There's no anarchist philosophers in Arab culture. So for those reasons, we don't have historical background that is very far away to the 19th century or even until the middle of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. The first anarchists who were here, well, a lot of anarchists came here and then left back to Europe, understanding that this is not their place. But quite a lot were born here, were born to mm-hmm. Zionist families and choose anarchism as their way. But again, it was very small groups, very, very small groups. In the 60s, there were a bit more because of the student movement in Europe and people were influenced by all the revolutions outside Palestine and Israel. And you can see only really in the end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s, more and more anarchist groups coming alive. But again, most of them very small, the same area of people, the same circle of people. And maybe in the 80s, the movement grew bigger because of punk. More and more people became anarchists because they liked punk and they went into the scene like that. The animal rights movement that was quite big here is still quite big here and was very anarchist in the beginning. Still quite anarchist. And all of this happened in the 80s and the 90s. There were more and more books and booklets and pamphlets of anarchists, more and more small groups all over the 90s. And in the end of the 90s, more and more people became anarchists as well as the wave of anti-globalization that was all over Europe and the US and came to Israel as well. So that was like, till the beginning of the Intifada, there were quite a lot of groups that were anarchist-affiliated or working as anarchist groups or unhierarchical groups. Mm-hmm. Till the Intifada came, that was...
Mm-hmm. I kind of want to go back to like more around 1948, because what you were mentioning was interesting about how anarchists came here and saw, you know, Israel as a state wasn't really for them. And of course we know, you know, if you look back to, let's say, Emma Goldman's time, which is, you know, before 1948, but huge Jewish anarchist movements in the United States and throughout Europe. So to me it's surprising that none of them found their way into Israel.
Well, the anarchist movement hated the Zionist movement. It's not only anarchist, actually, it's communist as well. A lot of communists came here and discovered that all those slogans of socialism are socialism for Jews. And there was so many racist campaigns, like there was a big campaign, Hebrew Labor, like to make capitalist Jews take only Jewish workers. And that was like the biggest campaign of the Zionist movement in Palestine, one of the biggest. And people came here and understand, wait a second, all of my communist, socialist ideas have nothing to do with those redneck policy, this racist shit that is going on here. And a lot of them left, a lot of them went to Spain, a lot of them had to stay here because they had nowhere else to go, because Hitler came, because couldn't go to the US. There were some anarchists come here as refugees, but they didn't want to come here. You can see all along anarchist history that is quite Jewish, they were very, very anti-Zionist, always criticized the Zionist movement, seeing it as almost a sacrilegion, seeing it as very not appropriate for them, not answering the problems of the Jewish people.
You mentioned kind of different issues that that anarchists in Israel have been involved in up to now. And then you mentioned the Intifada, which brings me to the next thing I wanted to talk about, was this recent group, the Anarchists Against the Wall. Maybe you could talk a bit about how this group came together, what it is, and what you do.
Well, when the Intifada came, there was two processes going on at the same time. The mainstream left, or what we call the Zionist left in Israel, became much more right-wing, came back to the Zionist form consensus. They showed a real racist face again. The radical left was more and more radicalized in the same time. You can see it. It's really like the mainstream left and the radical left were just like going more to the left or more to the right. And this process brought much more actions into the radical left. People in radical left started to act. There was in the Oslo so-called peace process time, the radical left was quite quiet. There was the anti-globalization movement, but it wasn't really, it didn't do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Today, well, since the beginning of the Intifada, every day there's a demo, almost every day. Almost every day there's something going on. People are going there, people are doing this and this campaign. So many new movements came into life, working really hard against the situation. And all of this energy and people actually seeing reality, people didn't go to the occupied territories before, made them realize how Zionism and have nothing to do with each other. It made a lot of people more and more alienated to the state, seeing the state as the enemy. When the state is shooting at you, when the state is shooting at your friend, it's not only theoretical, it's very much, alive.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the true face of the state. So when the wall started to be built in 2002-2003, a bunch of people, very young Tel Avivian boys and girls, very punk, they wore punk clothes, a lot of them were gay and lesbian, transsexuals, came to a village in Palestine, a very conservative village, and they were invited by the village to come there and to build a peace tent against the wall in Masha, the village of Masha. And that was for 5 months a peace camp that were for everyone to come to Israel's international Palestinians to make them realize what's going on with the fence, what is it, where is it going to. And all over those 5 months, there was a new thing in the radical level. It was, well, not a new thing, but a new thing for all of us young people. First time being in a Palestinian village, meeting Palestinians daily, living with them. And not only for us, for Palestinians as well. Talking about everything, not trying to hide who we are. People, well, we did wear modest clothes because we did respect the village, but it was really a place of dialogue. Out of this came the very, very close relationship right now of a lot of anarchists, Jews, with Palestine.
Mm.
Of course, anarchists were always against the occupation, always against the oppression of the Zionist state, but I believe that this camp really made it much more real, made it into our reality, made it into our daily life. And I think there was the first steps of the anarchist against the wall. It wasn't called like that. We began doing actions in the end of the camp, like in the last days of the camp, we began doing direct actions against the wall in other villages. We tried to stop the building of the wall in Moscow, and the camp was destroyed by the army, and we were not allowed to come back there. And there was the beginning of a direct action group that was anarchist organized, worked in anarchist ways, un-hierarchy, direct democracy and everything. And this group was not anarchist, but most of the people there were anarchists or anarchist-affiliated. And we began doing more and more actions in Palestinian villages all over Palestine, all over the root of the wall, till there was one action again in Masha, where one of our one of the anarchists against the wall, one of the people of this group was shot in the legs, seriously hurt, almost died on the way to the hospital.
When was that?
That was December 2003, and late December. In that day, we always changed names. We always, like, we were Jews Against Ghettos one action, we were the Masha group in the other day. We were a lot of names. We always changed the names. We didn't have one name. And in that day, we used the name Anarchist Against Fences. It's always, there's a lot of variations about this name, Anarchist Against a Fence, Anarchist Against Walls. It's always, it's very, depends who's the media man who actually has. But we use this name Anarchist Against Fences, and in English, Anarchist Against the Wall. And we got a lot of media that day. Before that, we almost didn't get any media. And the media was really interested. Like, anarchist movements, there was, people actually began asking, what is anarchism? It's not very known in Israel. Mm-hmm. People know the word, but they don't really know what it means. After that action, we began being much more active, especially because in the fight against the wall or against the occupation, because a lot of Palestinian villages started to recognize the fact that there are, like, Israeli groups, or especially one Israeli group that is coming and helping and doing stuff in Palestine, and they started to rebel as well against the wall that was being built near to them. And there were many villages, especially Budrus village, that is one of the symbols of nonviolent opposition to the wall, where we were there for almost a year. We were there demonstrating with the village, stopping the works as much as possible, and really doing it, acting there, going there almost every week, for a lot of days. We're going to, there were months where every day there was a demo when we went to. Every day people got shot, every day people were, some days people were killed. They were all, till now there were 7 Palestinians, I think, or 6 Palestinians shot dead by the Israeli army in non-violent demonstrations against the fence. They were shot in demonstrations where Israelis were not there at the time, because the Israeli army doesn't like shoot live bullets when there are Israelis in the area. So we're acting as well a bit like human shields. This is not why we're there, but the fact that we are there makes the army a bit less violent.
It's interesting, because when a Palestinian is shot at a nonviolent demonstration, and it happens quite often, it falls under the radar of the media. I mean, you don't hear about that. The interesting thing with when Gil was shot, as you mentioned, at the demonstration in December 2003, it did make it into the Israeli media, and we even heard about it in Canada. I mean, it did. That news made its way throughout the world because it was an Israeli being shot by the
Israeli army.
Yeah. How do you feel that action on that day changed either what you were doing as anarchists against the wall, or how the rest of Israel saw you?
Well, first of all, we always thought, you know, we're Jewish. We're not going to be shot by the army. It doesn't happen. That way, it was such a media thing, because it doesn't happen. The army doesn't shoot Jews. The settlers are always doing much worse stuff than we do. They act very violently toward the soldiers, but no one will ever dream about shooting them. And then it was the day that, well, we discovered that we're not like Palestinians, but we are, you know. That was for me like a day I understood, really, the state is my enemy. The army is my enemy, and I have nothing to do with the army. I was shot before with rubber bullets or tear gas, but when, you know, when you see, that was my first time as well, being seeing someone shot with live bullets, and it made a lot of us realize that this army and this state is not ours. In the Israeli public, we were actually, in the Israeli media, we were embraced quite warmly in the first 2 days. Right. You know, a Jew was shot. It's not nice. We need to, you know, they did tear the fence and they should be punished for it, but they shouldn't be shot. And in the beginning, they were quite nice. Over time, we got a lot of media attention as well. And over time, after there were more and more demos and more people got shot, even Israelis were injured again and again, and it did get the news, did reach the news. So they started acting toward us like hooligans. There were a lot of articles against us that we swear the soldiers, we talk to them, in we curse them, that we act not responsible in a non-responsible way, that we affiliate ourselves with terrorists. And actually in the last year you can see much more oppression against the Israeli radical left. Tali Fakhima as an example, she was never in the anarchist, she was never active in any group. But Tali Fakhima is now in jail only for doing stuff that actually they could arrest any one of us. Mm-hmm. All of us could be arrested for contacting a terrorist, violating a closed military zone, saying that we are, yes, there to defend the Palestinians. The repression against us is becoming bigger and bigger. There's more and more, the state is taking us to court.
Yeah.
Although they lose, they didn't won even one case yet, and they're probably not going to win any case in the last, the cases that are right now going to be in the next 2 weeks, they're not going to win them. But it's very important for the state to take us to court, to take our energy, to take our money.
Well, it sounds like being an anarchist in Israel is essentially an illegal thing.
There's always the difference between Israel and the occupied territories.
Right.
In the occupied territories, it's quite funny. There's no law. There's a lot of laws. It depends who you are. Of course, the anarchists are, a bit higher than the Palestinians in them, you know. But still, we're not treated very nicely. Inside Israel, it seems that, yes, we're being more and more pushed. But again, it's still not a repression in the fact that they do listen to our phones, they do take warrant to search our houses sometimes, they do arrest us for no reason sometimes, but again, it's not a repression. We are not afraid to go out in the street. It's not something like that. Yeah, could be, but...
There are a lot of groups in Israel who are working, I don't want to say towards the same goal as the anarchists, but working in the peace movement to put an end to the occupation. There's Gush Shalom, B'Tselem is the Israeli human rights group. How do the anarchists differ, either in terms of ideology or in terms of their actions, maybe more specifically in terms of their actions, from what the rest of the Israeli peace movement is doing?
First of all, there's a lot of groups in the peace movement that are very close to us. Black Laundry, for example, that are lesbians, gay, transsexuals, and others against the occupation, that we work a lot with. A lot of the anarchists against the wall are in Black Laundry and vice versa. There's Tayush that is quite active and working. We work with them. We are not organized the same way. We do not like to work in the same methods, but we do work together a lot. We're still working. The ideological, we don't have, an ideological, we don't have a list of demands. Of course, most of us would like a no state solution, preferably, if not, in the middle, in the way, so one state solution. We do not like any kind of separation. We're against the wall, no matter where is it going to be to be built. We're against the Palestinian Authority as well. We see the Palestinian Authority as another oppression tool. We will work with them sometimes, because sometimes we must, but we still don't support the Palestinian Authority like Gush Shalom does. And just all of this, we don't agree about a lot of things. We see connections that other people, we see things that other people don't want to see. We think other things, we act differently to the police. We would never inform the police about an action, like other groups. But after all, we all support each other, we all work together. We argue, but we don't, we won't not speak with each other. We will always work together. We must work together. Everyone understand it. And that's, there was the coalition against the fence. It's quite over already. But there was a coalition against the fence of all organizations in the radical left that were working against the fence. And there was no problem with it. That's something that, you know, that's important for me to other groups in, you know, outside Israel, to understand that if there's things that are so crucial, problems that are so crucial, all those endless conversations about anarcho-communism or anarcho-syndicalism or you know, Marxism and other shit has nothing. You still argue about it, but you must work together, mm-hmm. and that's something I think we do quite good in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And the radical left is acting together all the time. We never act against each other.
Do you have any major or minor criticisms of the way the other Israeli groups are operating?
Of course. And they have about us.
Mm-hmm.
They could say a lot of things about the anarchists, that we're like running from one village to the other. We're not organized. We're doing a lot of reckless things. We're acting in ways they wouldn't act. We have the same criticism about other groups, that they can't do spontaneous things at all. They have strict rules, but that's it. That's we always have this, but it has nothing to do with the fact that we'll still work together.
You mentioned, like, close to the beginning that anarchism doesn't really have a tradition in the Palestinian culture. What I want to know is how do you feel that anarchism relates to the Palestinian struggle? Because there are a lot of anarchists who'd be very hesitant to get involved in Palestinian solidarity because they see it as a national liberation struggle,
yeah.
which again, some aspects of it are. So how do you feel that anarchism relates
well,
to that?
Well, of course we're always in demonstrations where there are Hamas people, fundamentalist Islam people, nationalist people, racist people, and we fight with them for the same goal a lot of time, against the wall, for example.
Yeah.
It's always a problem. How do we put anarchism, and I don't speak only about anarchism, I speak about anarchism, women's rights, gay and lesbian rights, animal rights, and work with people who are, you know, very much against it,
mm-hmm.
in a lot of times.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard. I really do believe we work with Palestinians all the time, and we still say that we don't want a Palestinian state. I'm not fighting for a Palestinian state. I'm fighting for the end of the occupation. And that's the main goal, the end of the occupation and having some kind of society that will, some kind of, I don't know, federation, some kind of no state or one state, but very, to have some kind of reality that will be secular, that would not oppress each other. And we're not alone fighting for it. There's a lot of Palestinians that are not anarchists, but in the left. Communists, socialists, there's quite a lot. That are fighting for the same goal, one state solution. But for us, it's very close to what we want. I still believe that you need to support, you need to fight with national liberation fights sometimes. Because the main thing in them is to liberate themselves from the oppression of the other. And I think that before you liberate yourself from the oppression of your own society, you need to liberate yourself from the oppression of the other society. That is usually much more cruel, as we can see here. First of all, we need to end the occupation. First of all, we need to give the Palestinians their rights. And after that, we can speak about how do we want to live here? How do we want to... What kind of way... if the Palestinians will choose... to have one state solution, we will be with them. If they will choose to have their own state, we have nothing to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. But there's a lot of Palestinians, colleagues of us, a lot of Palestinians that are working with us to the same kind of solution.
Mm. Now, here you have anarchists who oftentimes show up in the same demonstration as Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Fatah, numerous different factions of the Palestinian struggle. But in essence, as you mentioned again, all still kind of fighting for the same goal. How do you view the anarchist role in this then?
First of all, we're Israelis. We're not there to educate the Palestinians. We're not there. We're one of the occupiers, after all. We're one of the society of the occupiers, the state of the occupiers. We're not there to tell them what to do. We're there to help them liberate themselves from our oppression, our state oppression. That's our main goal. We're not there to educate them about animal rights or other things we're fighting for. We do have conversations with them. We do try to influence in personal level, but we're not there as a group to change their mind. We're not there. We never have leaflets in Arabic explaining like what is anarchism and why you should join us, because this is not our way. We do try to influence, especially when it comes to women's rights. We always, when we speak with a village, we're saying we want the women in the demonstration. We try to organize women activities. Well, not me personally, because I'm male, but women from our group try to arrange a lot of women activities to empower the women in the village against the occupation. What helps them fight the oppression of the men in the village as well sometimes. But again, I think the main thing we should remember always is that we're not there to educate, because we are not the right ones to do it. They should have the, while they are being occupied by our state, we have no reason to come there and preach for them about stuff.
Mm. Maybe on a more personal level, I wanted to ask you what it means to you to be an anarchist, but also a Jewish person living in the Jewish state. Yeah. Whether there are any tricky contradictions in that, or
yeah, there's something that is very, very funny, because a lot being Jewish in the diaspora, as much as I understand it, is there. You feel your Jewish identity always. You don't feel it in Israel. You don't really care about Judaism in Israel. You usually say fuck it in Israel. It's like Christianity in the U.S. You know, do you feel Christian? Do you ask anarchists Christian, like anarchists? Do you feel Christian in your daily life? No, they're atheists, they're anti-Christian, they're the Antichrist most of the times. So my feeling here is, well, I do have some context to Judaism. I'm an atheist, of course, but Judaism and Hebrew, all of it is part of my culture. So I do have something Jewish inside of me, like you have something Canadian inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel Jewish in the religious way of it, and not even semi-religious way of it. It's not a thing. It's not something to keep. I don't care if I'll marry a Jew. Well, I won't get married, of course. But like, if I will marry someone, I don't care if he's a Jew or a non-Jew. I don't care about keeping the Jewish people. But I have no problem with assimilation. Again, that's my culture is like this. My culture is Hebrew culture, Israeli culture. But again, nothing to do with religion at all.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to maybe ask one more question about black laundry.
Yeah.
Because you brought that up, and it's a group you're part of, which I find really, really interesting. Maybe you can explain black laundry, its relationship with, because you mentioned there is somewhat of a relationship with the Palestinian struggle.
Yeah.
And the anarchist movement.
Well, Black Laundry was a group that was formed in the beginning of the Intifada, like a lot of our groups, actually. And it was formed in Tel Aviv, to the Pride Parade in Tel Aviv. There was a big Pride Parade, a lot of handsome, naked boys dancing on big trucks, with a lot of big corporations trying to sell you stuff. Quite disgusting, most of the time, very capitalist. And it was the first Pride Parade after the Intifada began, and we came there with the slogan, there's no pride in the occupation, and trying to say there's no real liberation without liberating our neighbors,
we will be oppressed by the same nationalist shit that are oppressing right now the Palestinians. There's no real... We are, as a gay, lesbian community, have an interest, first of all, to stop oppression of other groups. We said as well, other groups have the interest to stop the oppression of the gay and lesbian groups. And we tried to... always try to connect other struggles, to connect struggles all the time. Palestinian liberation, animal rights, of course the gay, lesbian rights, sexuality, freedom, body oppression, and of course capitalist oppression. All of this we try to connect, most of the time we work in a very, in a performance way. We try to act, we try to make a show out of it. And we work a lot inside the gay, lesbian community about the Palestinians, but about getting politics, to try to make people understand that their fight is a part of a big fight against oppressions. And it's not being gay and rich in the center of Tel Aviv is not liberating yourself. It's well, it is liberating all yourself, but it's not liberating the community. And we're working inside the left, of course, to make them understand that gay and lesbian rights are part of their battle as well, and they should always think about it as well. About the Palestinian struggle, we never did actions inside Palestine, inside occupied territories. Only once, and it was directed to settlers. Although people of our group always went to Palestinian demonstrations. So we went as a group to Palestinians to demonstrations, Israel-Palestinian demonstrations, but never organized our own activity there. Only in Masra, I think there was a big connection between us and a lot of women in the village, and there was some women meetings with Black Laundry, of course, lesbians and women from the village. And it's always very hard. You're not allowed to be gay in the Palestinian culture. I work quite a lot in occupied Palestine, and I'm not out most of the times. Like, good friends of mine in Palestine will know, but it's not something I will mention in a demonstration. I would not talk about it so much. It's just inappropriate. So it's always this place that you feel quite uncomfortable, but I am not there to educate them. That's one of the main things that I said before, that we're not there to tell them how to act. And again, it's not like Israel is the most liberated society. It's not. First of all, the main gay population that is being oppressed is the Palestinian gay. They're actually in a place where they're not only oppressed like all other Palestinians. If the Shin Bet, the security services, know they are gay, catch them in the gay park in Israel, and somehow catch them having sex or something like that, they actually make them collaborators and say, if you want to collaborate with us, we'll tell. That a lot of time that's a death threat. It's not a threat. It's like saying, it's like, if we'll tell you're gay, you will be dead. So there have been a lot of times that gay Palestinians became collaborators because of this policy. A lot of them are fleeing to Israel, where they are being they are illegally here, and no one give them the rights of a refugee because they left their village because they will be murdered there. If they left, they have a very good reason, and no one here is thinking about giving them refugee rights. And when they are being caught, a lot of times they are being sent back to their village. And in Oslo times, sometimes they just say that Palestinian police, they brought the Israeli police told the Palestinian police exactly who he is, and he was caught in this gay park, or he was caught there. We have a lot of cases that are known about it. Even Israeli and Palestinian couples are not allowed to... gay Palestinians, Israeli couples, are not allowed to stay with each other. So again, Israel is not good for gays. We are being oppressed. Even Jewish gay men and lesbians are being oppressed inside Israel, here in Jerusalem, of course. It's not like the Palestinian society is dark and cruel and the Israel society is so open and free.
Oftentimes you hear that Israel is a remarkably open culture towards gays and lesbians.
No,
and
it's the
people.
Center of Tel Aviv that is open for all of those gay and lesbians that have money.
Mm-hmm.
That are consumers, that are a part of the system. It's just like being straight and gay in the same time. It's not open for those poor gays that are coming from Oriental families, Jewish Oriental families. It's not open for Palestinian who lives inside Israel. It's not open for religious gay and lesbians. There's no real... Of course, there's much more there's more liberation here than in other Arab countries. But again, Israel can say one thing, but most of the time they're acting differently. There's still a lot of rights for gays and lesbians that are not approved. There's a big fight for it, but again, the situation here is not like Europe. It's more like the US.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't say the US has gay freedom for gay and women, gay and lesbians, only if you look at San Francisco, you know.